Good morning and welcome to a Monday. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. You're listening to The Conversation. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Beth Ann. The changes we've been anticipating for a while are already underway with a vengeance and more to come, yeah?
More to come. And later today, we're going to find out the state of the state when we hear from Governor Ige. And of course, we'll be bringing that to you right here, excuse me, on HPR2. But for the moment, we're going to talk about some other changes that maybe you haven't exactly known about or paid attention to. Now, obviously, there's no doubt that we're in an era of change. And under the title of president, the U.S. Commander-in-Chief is clear. What's perhaps less obvious is the change at the federally funded East-West Center. Richard Volstyk recently began his tenure as president. He's also an East-West Center alumnus, now back after 30 years in Asia. He says every institution, NGOs, businesses, governments at all levels, are going through transformations, and that will include his organization for one very important reason.
The East-West Center is better known in Hanoi than it is in Honolulu. Which tells me that the outreach and the understanding and knowledge of what the East-West Center does, not only for Hawaii, but for America and for Asia-Pacific, is less well-known than it should be.
Very often we hear the idea that you can't be a prophet in your own land, but the idea that the East-West Center has a lot to be able to offer those of us here, journalists, et cetera, various programs that the East-West Center has been running.
East-West Center is in Hawaii for America. It's in Hawaii for Asia-Pacific. You know, we've got a role. It's kind of a halfway house both ways.
Well, we hear often, and we have for years, that we are this bridge, but we don't often see how we are that bridge.
Well, I would say, you know, we're less of a bridge in the old days when all the airlines had to stop here. And so it has to be more of an intellectual bridge. We are already seen doing more remote programs outside of Hawaii and are part of the things here, which I think is also useful. Back to the question, I think one of the great strengths for a long time in the East-West Center has been its Pacific Islands programs. In the think tanks in Washington, with which I have dealt with for decades, the Pacific Island aspect of things is really on the periphery of if exists at all in most places in the United States. Yet, not just because of current tensions the last couple of years in the South China Sea, but I think in south of the equator, in Polynesia, Micronesia, Melanesia, we're going to see a lot more tensions, whether it's on fisheries boundaries. Climate change issues and so forth. Absolutely. That people really, it's really on the periphery and it's really of great importance. When those things arise, whether it's a geopolitical or a climate change-related, social, economic kinds of impact, which I think we're facing, the wave is still cresting on that, where are people going to turn for good information, good context, good advice, and maybe even a game plan to solve things? And I think our connections to the East-West Center and the people with whom we interact, and it's a network is very, very strong through all, as you well know. We just had recently a Pacific Islands Leaders Conference again, which goes way back and is an important continuing connectivity for constructive interaction on some of these issues. So the center has a role to play there. Another area which is, I think, of sweeping importance is in the old days, the East-West Center, when it was funded, you know, back in the 60s, it was, you know, the U.S. knows and Asia-Pacific doesn't. There was a kind of a, I have to say, but a little bit of a, not a conscious patronizing view, maybe from the state side, but a little bit.
Kind of paternalistic.
Yeah, paternalistic. And so that has changed. If you want to bring focus to some of the macro issues, whether it's climate change or water quality or social Gini index, you know, gap between wealthy and poor and so
social
forth.
Social justice.
All those things are captured in urban development, for example, in urbanization, which the center is doing things on, especially a subset of smart cities. And it's interesting that the development of the technological overlay on how urban areas work, how services are delivered, how carbon footprint is reduced, you go on this, are really brought into focus in a smart city or new urban areas. The U.S. is in old urban areas that are being rejuvenated in places like China and throughout Southeast Asia and India, for example. A lot of new cities being developed, and they're being developed with pretty sagacious forethought on how to make people connected, how to reduce paperwork and e-government, for example. And I think there's a lot that Asia has to teach the United States now.
And Honolulu.
And Honolulu itself. And so as we go forward, one of the things that I want to do with my team, with the management team, and with the center itself and our stakeholders, is to move away from just pure policy or more policy-focused to policy implementation focus with a focus on real-life, near-term implementation.
As we live in Honolulu, one of the issues that we continually come back to is what happens to those who come here because of the Compact of Free Association and the fact that most people don't really carry COFA in their minds and some would say hearts too. And how does Honolulu and how does Hawaii act with those who come here? I'm sure you've seen many of the Micronesians who are homeless, who are out on our streets and don't really want to be there, and people who feel that they are not welcome and that they haven't been welcomed appropriately. Others who have gotten lucky and are trying to go back and help. What do you see as being potentially the East-West Center's role in being able to have some greater understanding about COFA and the American responsibility to Micronesians?
Well, you know, I'm a recent arrival, so I can't do a deep dive on that question at all. But it does augur well, I think, for way the East-West Center and the community needs to work together. And if we have basic principles that we're trying to expound upon and implement regionally, both in the United States and Asia-Pacific, and at our toe tips, we're not doing it ourselves in the community, then there's a disconnect. And so these issues are not unique to Hawaii. I mean, we see a lot of that in Southeast Asian communities as rural people move into the cities. There's ethnic diversity in those places. You see it in Myanmar, for one example. You see it even in China, where there's a lot of linguistic separation and subcultural background that makes the integration of people in the cities very, very difficult. We're seeing the same thing in Honolulu. And this is where the East-West Center can bring government-level people together and NGO people together who are addressing similar issues and look for lessons learned, look for things that work. And this goes back to my earlier statement that the U.S. has some things to learn from Asia because they've been dealing with some of these issues a lot longer and more intensely than we have. Not that they have the best answers going forward, but certainly constructive dialogue across national and cultural bounds on similar human issues, I think, is a valuable exercise. And I think the center can be at least one catalyst for some kind of useful results.
Let's talk about an area that has great connection for you, Taiwan. Your wife is from Taiwan, I understand.
That's correct, yeah.
You've lived there for several decades. As we are now coming into a time where we have a new president, and the fact that when he was still president-elect Trump, he spoke with Taiwanese President Tsai, and that really raised more than just a few eyebrows, both in China and in Washington, because we have had this one China policy for quite a long time. Do you see that being disrupted by what was signaled by the call with President Tsai last month and that Senator Cruz met with her this month?
First of all, Tsai Ing-wen I've known for a long time through various previous jobs when she was in government. I was in Taiwan a total of about 24 years. Off and on. So when she was chair of the Mainland Affairs Council and she was premier, I worked with her face-to-face in many issues when I was running the American Chamber of Commerce there. She's a very smart lady with a trade negotiator of first order, not excitable, smart person. And I think, unlike some of her predecessors in the DPP, her party has a better grasp on extremists in the party itself. So I think she can speak with good backing in her position as president.
And with President Trump, given some of his
ideas?
Well,
we don't know. I mean, because today's the day we find out when the tweets become real or not, right? When we see if the preliminaries were just stirring the waters a bit or really going to be a change in policy. I think it's way too early to tell that. My own reading of the new administration is that we, in the run-up to the inauguration today, we've seen a lot of long-held assumptions challenged. And cross-strait relations that you raised is one of them. The one-China policy is also kind of what's going on next and so forth. These are kind of shots across the bow that it's not going to be same old, without reevaluation. It may end up that way. But I think it's President Trump has given clear signs that everything is going to be reevaluated, maybe reapproached, as a possibility going forward. What does that mean for us? And I think whether you're a business or an NGO, or local government, state government, it means that it's forcing a reevaluation of what we do anyway, ourselves, how we operate, how we're structured, what our priorities are, to be very sure that what we are doing falls in line with our basic principles and orientations. You know, I work out every morning, so coming here, I missed 2 weeks of workout, you know, getting the transition, so muscles get flaccid if you don't use them. For businesses and NGOs, you're not challenged, sometimes friendly, you get flaccid. And so I think no matter what happens, if there's no change whatsoever, the lead up to this election has made people already start to reevaluate what they are, what they do, what their plans are going forward. And I think in some respects, that's very, very healthy.
Richard Volsick, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Richard Volsick is the new president of the East-West Center. He comes to the center from the American Chamber of Commerce in Hong Kong, where he was president for the past 8 years. We spoke as we went into the weekend.